Hey guys, welcome back to a brand new week and a brand new episode of Honest Chats. I'm your host, JL. Thanks for tuning in. If you're new, welcome. And if you're returning, thank you for tuning in and keeping up with these episodes. Hey, one cool thing I want to let you know about is that we are actually nearing 1,000 plays overall ever since we started. That's across all platforms. I want to thank you for your incredible support, and I'm really glad that this is getting out there. Hopefully it's helping you, because we try to engage in conversations that will be helpful, that will spark up more ideas and different ways and perspectives to think about certain topics. Hey, this is week two of an episode called Renewing the Mind. I had the privilege to sit down with Chimo and Nathan again. And so if you're brand new, I would encourage you to go back to last week and just familiarize yourself with the first part of the conversation. Aside from that, I don't think there's anything else I need to let you know about. But if there is, you'll hear about it at some point. So enjoy the episode. Let's chat. And when you put it into perspective, we're being discipled by quite a number of things. Mm-hmm. Look at, listen to right now, we're listening to, there's music playing in the background. Yeah. Somehow it's going into our subconscious.
Yeah.
But how do we make, in your words, seeking God the first thing in every situation? Because I think when Jesus said that, it's meant to be a lifestyle, right?
Mm.
Not just a Sunday cliche.
Mm.
And not just like in the relationships realm or in my futures realm, but what about careers realm? How do you ensure that, like, what do you do to ensure that in your own life you've got that constant filter of, is this Jesus? Is this Jesus? Am I thinking? What do you do?
The Bible. Today I was just having an honest time with God and just struggling with some of my thoughts, and then God sort of reminded me, remember you put some Bible verses or reminders for Bible verses to look at. Can you go to those? So I went to them and I started reading them out loud. I'm like, oh wow, I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. And I sort of was fixated on Psalm 119 verse 9 to 11, and it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? It's by living according to his word. And then it goes, I seek you, God, with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. And I think recently God has been prompting me to actually memorize scripture, because that's one way of answering the question if you ask, which is, how do I keep saying, basically.
That's right.
And so today, I said, I'm going to memorize the scripture, and I just memorized, and something dropped, and I'm like, what? And I remember what you said, faith comes by hearing the word of God, and so... And then as soon as I went from that verse, I think it must have been while I was driving to the wedding event I had earlier on, and I was reminded of Romans 12:1, be transformed and renewing of your mind. I was like, oh, the two go hand in hand. I've hidden your word in my heart, that so I might not, sin against you. And that's many, that can happen in many ways. And so I was like, wow, I'm like, okay, transforming and renewing my mind will come by hiding his word in my heart. That's a fresh challenge to me, because when you get busy, you sort of slack off because the word is so accessible on your phone.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, I saw it. Okay, yeah, that's fine. And you don't sit actually meditate on it and take it in.
Yeah.
So I've recently been challenged to get back into that, because I met up with my pastor and someone else, and he had challenges to read portion of scripture and memorize it, and I hadn't, because it's quite long.
Right.
One of the guys asked a question, and it led to the Apostles' Creed.
Apostles' Creed.
So, like, as a Roman Catholic background, we used to memorize prayer after prayer. So like when he started, it just all came back to me. And I'm like, wait a minute, I used to memorize that scripture, I used to memorize. I was like, what's happened? It's like, why have I sort of slacked off? It's like, oh wow, it's because, things become so accessible and you think you have it, but what happens if the word's gone and you have nothing to fall back on? It's like, I've forgotten to memorize that scripture. And I was like, we need to get to a point. As I was telling, it's like, I need to get to a point where I'm memorizing scripture again. And letting it drop in my heart, deep in my heart, and if that means memorizing it and really soaking it in, then I think that's a really important thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, to do.
That's cool. I think you're the second person that was brought up the whole idea of memorizing scripture in this past couple of months that I've spoken to.
Yeah.
It's a good reminder.
Yeah. Like you say, life gets busy.
Yeah.
But that's just one of those things that we say, though.
I say that.
It's just like, oh no, I've been busy.
I've been busy, yeah.
And then you look back and you go,
wait a minute.
You know what? If I had actually spent the time aside, I think my week would have seemed more productive.
Yeah.
But when I've gone like a...
Yeah.
I remember the last time I did this, so thank the Lord for this, but...
Yeah.
I remember the times when I used to go back and I was like, oh wow, that just went. Where was my time with God? And it feels like my whole week was wasted.
Yeah.
I could have probably encouraged somebody, I could have served somewhere, I could have done this, I could have done that, but it looked almost like it meant nothing without that time with God.
Another thing, I think Nathan's like, it's just been people remind me of stuff, like Nathan's always at work playing worship music, and there's such power in that. And often it's like, look at this guy, so super spiritual. Putting worship music on. But whenever he's put on worship music on, it's like, and maybe it's just the two of us at work. I'm like, wow. I'm like, and I just heard like, there's one song he plays that you've called me higher.
All Sons and Daughters.
All Sons and Daughters, called me high.
Oh, that's how it plays in my heart.
Yeah, so
he
played it about 2 weeks ago, and I remember I spent this one morning. I woke up earlier because I've been waking up early.
I wonder why.
But I'd wake up and I'm like, I can use this time to actually spend time. So I spent an hour just reading scripture, and then I was like, put on some worship music. So I put on that song, and then the song started playing. Within like 1 minute, I was bawling my eyes out. I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It's like, this has been a while coming where I've experienced your presence in such a way that I'm actually crying tears of joy. And I was like, what the heck? Actual heck. So like, even just worship music and just all those tools that seem like they're generic or Christianese, you want to put it that way, they all work really well. Like even just prayer, worship, the word, fellowship. Like I was saying last time, we had a coffee buddy. And you always seem to get me to talk.
It's a skill, I'll teach
it's
you.
It's a skill, but next time I'm not talking. But I remember we had this conversation, and I mean, you have an ability to, I guess, question people's beliefs, why are you actually saying what you're actually saying? Like, do you know what you're actually saying?
Yeah,
or you're not really actually saying that, but when you ask the questions, I know that's what you're actually saying.
I'm so confused.
Are you confused? Did I lose you?
No,
I got you, but yeah, I think you're saying, and then you referring to him.
So he asks questions and what he's really asking is like, why are you saying this? Do you actually understand what you're saying?
Yeah.
I'm like, darn you, John, look in my head. I was like, what the heck's wrong with
him?
It's like, stop asking me. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm saying, but I don't know how to articulate it. But it's really important to articulate what you actually believe. You don't want to just believe without being able to articulate it. Because someone's going to ask you a question and the verse that says you have to give a reason for why it is that you actually believe what you believe in.
Convicted me last night. Yeah, it was a lady at Macca's we were talking, and she asked, oh, so what do you guys do? Like, she was Muslim from Singapore.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you guys, is this a uni group? What do you guys do in the youth group? And we talked about it for a bit, and I just, just wish I had said more.
Yeah.
But she asked, so what's the agenda? I was like,
yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. It's like,
wow.
And I remember the last time I met up with you, asked me all these questions, and you said that same thing. Faith comes by hearing the word, and yeah. See, I have to memorize scripture to remember that scripture. You know which scripture I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And something dropped in my heart again, you know what I mean? So, like, and you know, like if we have our Sunday experience, we should be able to go to others and have conversation with others about what it is that was said to us, and be able to articulate it to each other in such a way that it's not just words, but it's action in faith, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
That's cool, man.
That's brilliant.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So many nuggets.
So many nuggets.
Why are you
with Sweetie? Here he is, back again.
He's in the deep now, people.
Yeah.
This man don't need no life jacket.
Oh
no, sir, it's all trust right here.
It's all trust, walking on water.
What do you do, mate? What do you do?
To daily remind myself. I wish
got
I
a tattoo on your arm, fearless love.
Actually,
that's
yeah.
a thing now, hey? Just get a tattoo.
Yeah, it is to get a tattoo, but I think actually, even though that is a joke, it is actually something that I've thought about since that situation when Matthew 6:33 became real.
Mm.
That word just came out of nowhere for me, and it has just stuck since then. That's a reminder, but it's not something that I look to every morning. But I think, because I have such a long drive, half an hour from where I am to work.
Yeah.
Apart, like worship music at times, definitely, but I find myself just in that. I challenge myself for a while for just to drive without any music and just listen to my thoughts, as scary as that is.
Mm.
And I find, like,
spirit.
Just actually, yeah, not so much like really deliberate prayer from when I leave the driveway to get to work, but just like little moments of just thinking and just pondering about truths, I guess, on just the week that's been,
yeah.
Even just things that I'm struggling with, even things that I'm desiring after, and I guess over time, just building that relationship with God where I just become, in a sense, not praying, but just verbal diarrhea in a way where, yeah, and those driving moments and also just moments of when I do find them, of just actually just like, oh, do I actually want to pursue this relationship? Do I actually want to do this with work? Do I actually want to? Where do I see myself? Like, just constantly reminding myself of what the purpose is.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
What do I actually? Yeah. Because one of my biggest fears is complacency.
Because
I know that I can at times get comfortable in a routine of Christianity. Especially working for a church as well, and going into a routine of this is what you do on a Sunday. It's easy to kind of think that those things will fill up the tank
for
the week.
Absolutely.
Like band practice and prayer and band practice could be, that'll be enough. And little moments like that. And just constantly having to remind myself and question my motives. And one way I do that every morning is just basically in the first couple of Ks leaving Frio, just really passing the Bull Creek train station every morning. Like sometimes, depending on what time I leave, it's usually jammed up. And just actually, like I enjoy doing this, like people watching.
Yeah.
And constantly asking that question of, that question you ask yourself sometimes when you walk into a shopping center as a Christian, like, actually, what would it be like to actually not know God and, like, go through life not knowing God and struggle with all the things? And just trying to be grateful for things that I have.
That is a good one, yeah.
Especially the first thing we pray in the morning is thank you for the day and thank you for, even though it's raining and miserable, Thank you. Thank you that the grass is getting greener. Mm,
yeah.
Thank you the farmers are getting some rain. Just has, trying to have, not, like not that I do it every day, but at most days try to have a perspective of gratefulness.
Yeah.
What I do have. Because now I find myself at times complaining to God about certain things, and then I'm thinking, oh, dude, hold on, like the first 3 months you were here in Perth, you're crying out for a job,
right.
And now you have a job, and now you're a youth pastor.
That's
like,
right.
Dude, just suck it up. Like,
yeah.
I think that's the thing with me and God, is like, I'm so stubborn, and he actually has to spiritually backhand me to kind of just remind me. And, dude, that's why I enjoy people who just say how it is, like friends who say how it is, because I don't have time for like, oh, let's dance around the bush. No, let's just get through the truth of the matter and let's talk about it.
Mm.
Yeah, that's me and God back and forth, and he's had to remind me so many times. I think just trying, not that I achieve it every day, but just trying to have a posture of gratefulness and thankfulness.
Mm.
Because at times when you can get it to work and, you know, it's been a crap week or something is wrong or whatever, just being thankful for the fact that you actually, I have a job.
Yeah.
Thankful that even though the kids at times might be cruddy, just being thankful that I do have things that I take for granted.
Yeah.
I always am thankful for the fact that I'm driving a car, or thankful that I fuel in my...
Yeah, good sir. That's awesome.
Because I remember driving to work as a uni student all the time, struggle street of just trying to like figure out if I should actually drive this day or whatever. And then now it's like, to some degree, yeah, compared to then to now, man, I'm so comfortable compared to being a uni student.
Wow.
Just trying to have that posture. I don't achieve it all most days, but I try to do that at least 3 times, 4 times a week of just being thankful for what I do have. And that kind of just shifts the mindset of wanting or desiring after things that it's not God's timing for it.
Yeah, that's good.
So Sundays come around and just trying to be bold and fearless. That's one thing I've gotten into recently, is just trying to be a bit more arrogant in a spiritual sense, where just
confident.
Like, confident, arrogant. I know there's two words.
Confidence can be mistaken for arrogance, but you're right. Yeah,
it's kind of that idea of like, you know what, just move, God. I dare you to move right now. I dare you to actually move in this school. I dare you to move in our ministry. I dare you to move in my own life. Like, come on, let's do it. Like, that's a scary prayer to pray. I prayed the refining prayer 2 years in a row, and 2 years in a row he's refined me in ways that I didn't want to, but
yeah,
I did. So I think just being grateful, and also just being like, you know what, stuff it, come on, let's go. And that 85 year old guy I was talking about earlier, he's constantly like, so what are we doing now? Like, come on, I don't have much time, let's go. So that's a good reminder for me, like, what am I actually doing? Where is God moving? Am I actually available for God to move? So try to have that posture of like, let's get it, you know? But also being thankful. It's always hard when there's distractions, especially this thing.
Is that why you're breaking it?
Yeah, that's why I'm breaking it.
Just real quick for a wrap up. Two people who have the kind of mindset that you're after.
Ooh.
And
Jesus. Sunday school.
Sunday school.
No.
It's Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, I just want to be like Jesus. In your life right now. Obviously in your life right now that you've known, that you know, that you will know, I don't know, but two people who have the kind of mentality and mindset that you you just look at them and you go, wow, they're actually, you know, they're thinking and their whole life is actually, as far as you can see, because you never know everything, as far as you can see, I want that. I want to be able to think like that. Maybe it's in the area of leadership, but it's leadership that's informed by biblical thinking. Maybe it's in the area of being a dad, or you know, whatever it is that matters. So for you, it's, you know, it's relationships. At some points, it's other times, it's calling. It's, you know, it's serving, having a heart for the lost. For you, it's you know, seeking the kingdom of God. I think for me, my big area is leadership, and I see my senior pastor as being one of those people who, like, they challenge me because they're like, he's always thinking about. He's always thinking in a way where I see him lead, but not lead like he would have any other. Like, he's not running the organizing or leading our church congregation as if it was a business, because that's one of the things that, you know, a lot of Christians have a problem with. But at the same time, he's bold.
Yeah.
He's very fearless, but he leads with conviction.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that I look at him and I go, yeah. I want that. I want 10 times that.
Mm-hmm.
Not just double portion, stuff that. 104, what do you got?
Wow.
So two or three people. The other one I would say is my wife, and she has got probably, I'd say both compassion, which is incredibly compassionate, and graceful.
Two people.
And I've crammed it down to two people because
it's quite
a lot.
Oh, Lord. Gosh, that is.
Put it this way, you've identified fearlessness and putting God first.
Mm-hmm.
Who exemplifies that for you? So related to what we just talked about.
Funny enough, putting God first, you know, it sounds cliche, but it had to be my mom.
Yeah.
She's such a prayer warrior. And it was so annoying growing up as a teenager. But every time, she'd always just default to prayer.
Wow.
Default to seeking God, and default to just seeking Him first, no matter what the situation was. That example of, even though she went through times in life where she struggled with certain things personally, and just the changing landscape of working in a church. I can't even think of a moment where I don't ever remember my mother defaulting to prayer and defaulting to seeking God, even in the little, the smallest things. So I think that verse not only was for me to remember, but it was probably for her, a life thing for her as well. And then I think about it, and yeah, seeking God first would definitely be my mother. Yeah.
Let's go.
Fearlessness. Gosh. So many people. I think someone who has pursued God without hesitation, seemingly, and this is like sold out. I guess this comes with age. Oh, is that 85-year-old guy I was telling you about?
Yeah.
His name is Trevor. But it's just funny how he has so much energy.
At 85.
Yeah. So much energy. You would think he was like 60 or like late 60s or something. But the pursuit of God, that expectation of God to just to encounter and move. I remember him telling me a story of him praying during the week for God to just turn up at church last Sunday. And that was when your pastor came and spoke at our church.
Fire.
Yeah, first service, he was sitting, Trevor was telling me first service, because he was praying God like to turn up and just make a move and make a difference and blow up. First service, you're sitting there, and it's like, well, not this service. And then second service, as soon as Josh went off, is it Josh or John?
Josh.
Yeah, Josh went off script and just like, I feel like God's like, and he was like so excited. He's like, come on. And that, like, and then, yeah, that fearlessness of like daring God to move and expecting God to move, but also having the patience to wait on Him. To actually and trusting that He will come, yeah, that's one. I guess that's where I want to be, and just the way He speaks to me as well, like not in a talking down on me, but also instructing and being honest, like He did this morning. Like, yeah, I used to party all night and still turn up at work at 6 a.m. But underhanded comment, but in the same way challenging me, because challenging me in my mindset of like. Dude, come on, be a man of your word, actually stick to who.
Yeah.
And that's like very convicting.
Yeah.
And so,
that's beautiful.
I guess those are the people currently in my life.
Yeah.
That
exemplify that, right?
Yeah, that is like, exemplify that I can think of right now.
Jimma?
This is a hard question.
Can't even think.
But I mean,
one person.
One
no,
person.
Two or one?
I was thinking of when you were saying 85-year-old. I was thinking of my pastor's grandmother on his mom's side. She's 94. But I've always had this motto that if I can bring the joy of Jesus to any person's life, then I have accomplished my mission. And for me, the biggest goal is just to live a life of joy.
Yeah.
Joy that comes from only Jesus. I think it's in 1 Peter, somewhere in there, it talks about you're experiencing this inexplicable joy, but you don't really know where it's come from, and I just paraphrase it. And I remember getting that verse on one of my birthdays and just experiencing incredible joy, just reading that. And her name's Elsie, she's 94, and she has incredible joy for a woman her age. I mean, she's starting to face, but like, this is one woman you can be around her, and the joy of Jesus is just with her, you know. And even in the way that she shares that joy with others, it's very fearless. So like, you just hear stories of where she'll get on a cab, like, and then she'll be in the taxi and she'll come to Jesus. I spoke to the cab driver and I asked him, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And you know, and just so joyful about it, and just so, you know, and she's just one of those ladies, a very simple lady, but so amazing the way she loves Jesus with joy. It's like, it's just so incredible. You just have to meet her to understand what I'm talking about. But yeah, she's one person who I'm thinking of at the moment.
Think of getting kicked out.
Huh?
Think of getting kicked out.
Yeah, okay.
Not stayed out well. We talk too much.
Yeah. I'll leave it at that one.
We're gonna close there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For your time.
Bye.
We'll reconvene at another time. Thanks for sharing your hearts and your minds and your souls and your spirits with us. And yeah. We'll let you know when this one goes up.
Hey, that's the end of that episode. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for lending your ear. If you're new, I want to let you know that we do drop an episode every Tuesday. So I'd encourage you to come back. If you're returning, thank you. Thank you so much for lending your ear. It's really great to have you continuing along the journey of the conversations that we're having. And I want to encourage you to be a contributor to that. And let me know, feedback to me, how this is helping you. I know the mental health focus was really key for some people and really helped them out. So thank you for letting me know and getting in touch with me. I really appreciated that. But yeah, so what's your plan for renewing your mind? It's one of those areas that can help with our mental health. Resiliency is growing. One of the things that a lot of people who go to the gym say is that in order to grow muscle, sometimes you got to tear it. And so that requires pushing the boundaries of what you can maybe lift, the boundaries of your endurance, boundaries of your strength, so you can build up new muscles. And so what does that mean for you? And part of renewing the mind is actually having what we know challenged by new truths. We'll say everlasting truth and timeless truth. And really positioning ourselves in a way where we can wrestle without and allow God's truth to wrestle with the prejudice and the truths that we live by and we know that aren't necessarily aligned with Him, and to sort of see where that takes us. So I want to encourage you to do that. If you don't have somebody who already challenges you in your life and renewing your mind and heading towards a direction of a healthier mind, I want to encourage you to find a person who you look up to, who you think, yeah, they seem to have a healthy mindset. Not perfect, no one's perfect, but maybe they can help you along that journey. The other thing as well is that I really want to encourage you to, if you read, I'm going to put a link to a book that I read. It's by Dr. Caroline Leaf. If you haven't read any of her stuff, she's brilliant. And it's a book that I went through and I read, and I saw some significant changes when I applied some of the things that are in that book. It's got some mental acrobatics that you might need to do in the first half of the book, but they're very much necessary. So I encourage you to slog through it, do the hard work that your mind will need to do to get through it, and you'll reap some really great benefits. I'll link that in the description below, and I want to encourage you, if you're a reader, devour this book. If possible, go back through it and read it again. Hey, here's a question. What book are you also reading? Let me know what those are. I'd love to find out what's going on around the place. There's no precedent for you need to be reading this type or that type of book. Just let me know, what types of books are you reading? What are you reading? What are you finding interesting? But apart from that, I will catch you in the next episode next Tuesday. That's enough for me. Let's jump into the song of the week.